I agree with Doug. Jesus seems a little harsh sometimes. I've struggled with that. When Mark gave me that scripture and said that's the next one in the series, I went, oh, thanks. So I took a course not long ago about Jesus' life and legacy. So I learned how to interpret these things, and that was our assignments. We had to dig deep and really find the key words. And so I'm going to try to make a little bit of sense of this. Because I hear this one and I say, where is your compassion? Where's your empathy? These people have stuff they gotta do. They can't just leave. They've got loose ends to tie up. But I also live on the fact that I know that Jesus was a pretty cool guy. He was pretty awesome. So why would he do that? I can't see that. You know, I can't see him saying, no, you can't do that. The other thing I know about Jesus is he often spoke in metaphors and symbolism so that people could understand. So when I'm one of those people, I have to understand. If I read a statement and I don't understand it, I need to understand what's going on. So I did some digging, applied some of my research skills. And this is what I've sort of looked at. So follower number one, I want you just to imagine this for a minute. There's commotion out on the street. This guy, everyone's talking about, he's in town, he's walking down the street, and he's sharing his message with whoever will listen. Wow, the town is pumped. And so the first follower, I mean, he actually just offered himself. He was probably out there going, yeah, I get this, woo! I'm going to do this. Okay, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. And I can imagine him Facebooking and tweeting it, you know? I'm going to follow this Jesus guy. And Jesus sees him, and he knows that he's sort of kind of a little bit too gung-ho. Because what happens when we're too gung-ho? We don't really follow through. So Jesus says, just so you know, I don't actually have a home. Following me is not going to be easy. You're probably going to have to go to places that you don't want to go, and you're definitely going to be out of your comfort zone. Just so you know. Follower number two, Jesus invites him. He says, hey, bud, you want to come follow me? The guy says, yeah, all right, I can do that. But I want to arrange my dad's funeral first. Well, first of all, why would he be out following Jesus if his dad was about to be buried? That doesn't make any sense. So Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead, but you go proclaim the kingdom of God. So Jesus is probably speaking metaphorically here, from what we know, as he often did. So maybe he's talking about the spiritually dead. And then the key other key word in this is, Jesus doesn't say, come and follow me. He says, go and follow me. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God. He didn't say, come with me and proclaim the kingdom of God. He said, go. Let the dead bury their dead, but go. So that's your other hint that maybe that was about spiritually dead. Because he's saying, now go and proclaim it to them. Now, follower number three, this guy's important. So he's pumped like the first guy. He's like, yeah, I'm going to do this. Maybe a little less excited. And this is really what often happens when we're really excited. Because all of a sudden he says, hang on. I got to go tell my mom, my family, that I'm just going to go on this trip with you. So Jesus says, but no one who puts their hand on the plow looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. That's pretty harsh. But we got to look at the symbolism again. When you plow, and anyone who gardens knows this, when you're walking forward, you have to watch where you're going, or you're not going to have straight rows. Because if you plow like this, you're not going to have very straight rows. And if you lay your seed like this, your seed's not going to go in the rows. It's going to be up on the hills, it's going to be around, so it's not going to get watered, it's not going to have soil covering it. So it might grow, but you're not going to get a bumper crop. So really all Jesus is saying is that if you keep looking back, you're not going to be successful in proclaiming the kingdom of God. So, this passage is called the excuses. As soon as I presented it to Doug, he said, oh, the excuses. So, I don't know about you, but I'm full of excuses. I have so many excuses. I make excuses why something isn't done, why I don't have time to exercise, cook, or clean. And I have excuses why I don't follow Jesus. Just like the followers in our passage. A lot of it's fear. I have a lot of obligations. What if Jesus asks me to do something that's out of my comfort zone? What if he asks me to do something that I'm really not comfortable doing? Sometimes it's motivation, and a lot of the time it's pure laziness. So I keep a list. Does anybody else have a list? Nobody has a list? So my mom gives me a honey-do list. My mom lives with me. We live together. And she's getting older, and she's also short, so she can't do a lot of things. So I have a honey-do list. And these are little things, all these little things on this list, I keep moving down the list and replacing them with things that I feel are more important or things that I want to do. My excuse is, she hasn't actually presented me with a paper list. Now, I'm probably going to go home and find one because she's at home right now and she's probably watching. So I may be busy this afternoon. Sometimes I say, I'll do it when my back's not sore. Or I'll hang that picture up when I've got the hammer out to do other things. And I tell her, I'll get around to it. Well, the other day I was working on my to-do list, I was doing a little cleaning, and I found a treasure. Couldn't believe it. I swept under the couch, along with the fur and the cat toys and the dog toys, out came this little item. And we're gonna put it up on the screen for you as well. Okay. It's a Tuit. Have you ever seen one before? This one is super special because it's round. I looked it up because I'd never seen a round one before, and I found this little blurb. This is a round Tuit. Guard it with your life. Tuits are hard to come by, especially the round ones. It will help you become a much more efficient worker. For years, you've heard people say, I'll do it when I get around to it. Now that you have one, you can accomplish all those things you put aside until you got around to it. So how exciting. But how do I use it? And how can I use it to follow Jesus and overcome my excuses? So I did what I do best. I did some more research and some more thinking. And I've learned in school a lot about reflecting. So I did a lot of reflecting. And I've come up with 8 simple rules to get around to it. And I'm going to share them all with you. So rule number 1, think about your why. Every task and goal has a why behind it. We do the dishes so we can have clean plates so that we don't get sick and get food poisoning. We brush our teeth so we can have good health and don't have to go to the dentist as often. So why do we follow Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? I mean, does he mean literally follow him? Which would be kind of hard to do right now. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Jesus says, simply, be imitators of me. That seems rather simple. Just live like Jesus. Just live like Jesus. Just live like Jesus. The first follower chose to follow Jesus, and why? Was he feeling desperation for a better life? He was definitely excited about the message because he volunteered. But what was his motivation? That was his why. Jesus promises us eternal life, more abundant life, love, forgiveness, so many things. So what is your why? Step number two, break the task into manageable chunks. So how can we do that following Jesus? Because isn't it supposed to be all or nothing? Remember the hand on the plow and looking back? Does that mean in today's world built on capitalism that we have to sell everything and strike out to live as Jesus did? That's a pretty huge endeavor, and I know I couldn't do it. Does anyone remember the complaint-free world? Quite a few of you. For those of you who don't know, several years ago, we used these purple bracelets, and we did a program called the Complaint-Free World for about a year, I guess, sort of on and off. And the idea was is you were to try to live without complaint for 30 days. And every time you complained, either in your mind or out loud, you had to switch the bracelet. And did anyone actually make it 30 days? No? The main thing is, though, is that we tried. Well, many of you tried. I decided I was not going to try. Because my excuse was, why bother? Because I'm not going to make it for 30 days, so what's the point? I wonder if that was sort of what the followers were feeling. It was overwhelming, the task. And maybe that's why they said, wait a minute, I got to go to check on a few things first. The task of dropping everything and physically following Jesus must have been terrifying. Maybe if I had broken down the complaint-free world into smaller tasks and looked at the goal as, I'm not going to complain for 1 hour, and then 2 hours, and then 3 hours, maybe I would have actually accomplished something and actually gotten something out of the program. Step number three, schedule the bite-sized tasks. Jesus doesn't call us to follow in scheduled bits and pieces. He calls us to follow now and don't look back. There's that plow again. But plowing's not relevant today, so Jesus always liked to keep his message relevant. So let's think of it as this. Can you look backwards while you're driving a car on the highway? When driving, we need to look ahead, not back. Even when we're reversing, we're looking where we're going, we're not looking where we've been. We need to be present. The world we live in is busy. Scheduling time to pray or volunteer or do outreach work is not denying Jesus. It's ensuring that you don't stray off the path or look behind you. It gives way to being present while looking forward. We schedule our homes all the time. When you have children, you've got dinner at 6 with cleanup, and then homework at 6:30, 7:30 is a bath, 8 p.m. is a story, and off to bed you go. Children need schedule, but so do we. It stops us from putting off things. Scheduling also allows us to plot things out and see how long it actually takes. So, for instance, maybe Jesus is calling you to be on one of our church committees. You may feel like the task is too big, it's a burden. I can't do that. But if you plot it out in your calendar, you may see it's only a couple hours a month. And that's not so overwhelming. If you're being called to go across and do the world to do missions, you have to schedule, because you've got to schedule time off work, you've got to schedule your flights, in your hotels, in your meals. It all has to be scheduled. And you're still doing God's work. Step four, stop putting things off and just do it. Just do it. Don't worry about being right or being perfect. Sometimes the thought of doing it is much worse than the actual reality. Sort of like jumping in a lake. If you think about the cold water, or dip your toes in first, you're not getting in that water. Not easily, anyway. But if you just run and jump, it's not so bad. Number five, manage your mindset. Again, you don't have to be perfect. Jesus didn't ask us to be perfect. You may need to remind yourself back to step one of your why. Why are you doing this? What's in it for you? And how does it affect those who are around you? When you live as a follower of Jesus, even those who are non-believers will notice. They'll notice that you show love and peace in your life. Even when your life is a mess, you'll still show love and peace in your life. You don't have to wear a Jesus follower t-shirt. Number six, remove distractions. So we're going to look at the car again. You can't drive a car effectively, they found, with while you're text messaging or looking behind you. You must be present. Being present in the moment opens ourselves up to God. Has anyone here taken part in any mindfulness or mindful meditation? Yeah, we've got a few people. The whole concept behind that is being present in the moment. Being aware of your breathing, your five senses, what you see, hear, taste, smell, and feel. It opens you up to being aware of yourself. And in you is the Spirit of God. And in you, Jesus lives. Eliminate the distractions and listen to God. Put your phone away, turn the TV off, close the door, put your list of other tasks away, and focus on one thing at a time. Number seven is accountability. When you make a goal, it's easier to accomplish if you speak it out loud to someone else. Because then you can check on each other. How's it going? I have a lot of goals. During COVID, I took up kayaking and hiking, and I really love it, and I have a lot of goals of places I'd like to go and paddle and hike. So I shared this with David and Liz, because I know they like to hike and kayak also. I've not made it very many places on my list. I still have them on my list, though, my round to it list. But because I shared my hopes with my friends, they check in on me. So I see them on Sunday and they say, hey, where have you been hiking this week or kayaking? Where did you go? And I go, nowhere. But then I listen and I say, well, where have you been? And they tell me all about their adventures. And then I feel this motivation coming. And I have to think about, why didn't I go to those places? Why haven't I gone anywhere? What's stopping me? And it really works, because after many conversations in the summer, I finally got up one morning and I said, that's it. I'm not going to go to church this week and say I've been nowhere. And I picked up my boat and I put it in the river and I did the Oxbow in Brantford, which is like a loop. And it was long and boring, but I did it. And it's off my list now. But I did that because of the accountability. I did it because I didn't have someone telling me I had to do it. I did it because I had to tell myself and reflect on why I wasn't doing it. It was just simply them checking in on me that made me remember to reflect on it. Number eight, the last step, is share your experience with others. Share the kingdom of God, right? We do this every day in our conversations. I'm sure we all chatted today a little bit about the snowstorm. Had we ever heard of the thunder snow before, that kind of thing? We shared our experience. When we watch a movie that touches us or excites us, we share it with a friend. We tell them a little bit about it. We say why we loved it so much, why it touched us. For those of you who don't know, I started at Trillium as the office administrator. I had just separated from my husband and I was desperately in need of a job. My work history was all in retail. I managed clothing stores before I had decided to stay home with the kids. I think I put out about 100 resumes trying to find a job. I put in for places I was qualified for, places I was overqualified for. I didn't get a single call. And then I placed a resume here, and I got a phone call. I did not just get a job from that interview. I got a new family. I got a purpose. I got all of you. I truly believe that God meant for me to be here. I really do. That's it. I just proclaimed the kingdom of God with all of you. I just shared that. So while I was writing this and trying to feel motivated, I decided I would do a little bit more on my to-do list. And wouldn't you know it, I found a whole bunch more around to it. So I thought I would bring them all here and share them with you, so that you all can go home, because now you know how to use a round to it. We'll maybe just pass them around. You guys want one? So now you all know how to use a round to it, so we can pin them, and they're little pins. So I'm gonna put mine on my purse so that I can be accountable, so that when you all see me, you're gonna see my round to it, and you can all say, how's your round to it list going? So I offer you this. Here is your round to it. Guard it with your life, because to it's are hard to come by, especially the round ones. With your round to it, you can stop making excuses and follow Jesus in proclaiming the kingdom of God. And that's it. Remember why? Break it down. Just do it. Share it with others so that you're accountable to yourself and to God. And remember that following Jesus is not easy. It's going to take you out of your comfort zone. You will want to make excuses. But growth only comes from adversity. Growth is most often found outside of our comfort zone.